join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Treats the homeless with great care. One of the incredible things about Jesus is how over and over again he took time out of his busy schedule to step into lives that were alienated and to step into situations that were incurable. And even though he could have judged those individuals as unworthy and too weak to receive his promises, he still said, as the promise maker, "My promises are yes and amen." And everything he spoke to and everything he touched experienced a dramatic difference. How many of you can attest to that? God spoke to you, God laid his hand on you, and as a result, you are dramatically different. Turn to your neighbor, and maybe it's your spouse, and whisper to them and tell them, can you imagine an unsaved version of this? So Mark chapter 1, some of you know that unsaved version because you met them before Christ, and you know those days of BC, but let's continue. Mark chapter 1 says in verse 40, "Now a leper came to Jesus, imploring Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, irate and frustrated with weak people who can't get their act together, condemned the man." No. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. What a wonderful subject to look at as we get near Christmas Day. Leprosy. Doesn't that just put the warm and fuzzy into the holidays? Something was different in the city that day. I believe something is different in this city today. Something is different because someone who's different was in the city of Galilee that day, and something's different in our day because something and someone is in our city today. And that's why we cannot take for granted our time of worship, our time of praise, and our time of prayer. Because it's there that God does his best stuff. It's there that he looks at weak people. He looks at people that are outcasts and alienated by the in crowd. It's there that he has the ability to get messy with your mess and turn your test into your testimony. God has an ability to move towards you even though everything about you causes people to move away from you. How many of you have ever moved and did not send parts of your family a forwarding address? Something was different in the city that day, and the city we speak of is Galilee. You see, a leper out of desperation, he broke the law, and he came to God. Now, according to the law, lepers were supposed to stay at least six feet away from other people. If the wind was blowing, 150 feet. See, the leper, like many of us, had nowhere else to go. No one else to turn to. So in desperation, he pled his case to God. He brought his case to Jesus. Jesus could have and probably, according to the law, should have remained neutral, unmoved, and not got involved. But Scripture says he did all of that. It says that he got involved and that he was moved to get involved with compassion. And we learn here that where there is the compassion of God, there is the power and the possibilities of God. Let us not forget that leprosy was a very common, very contagious skin disease in that day and time. It would often cover the entire body with sores. Over time, it even caused a person's body to rot and to fall off. It wasn't unusual for lepers to lose their fingers and their toes. As a result of losing their toes, they would lose their balance. As a result of losing their fingers, they were unable to give meaningful touch. As a result of being unclean, they could not receive meaningful touch. You see, leprosy wasn't just painful, smelly, and messy. It was lonely. And it describes how too many people in life feel. You see, anyone who was thought to have leprosy had to go to the priest. And the priest would examine them. And if the priest found them to be infected, they were considered utterly unclean. Leviticus helps us understand that better in chapter 13, where in verse 45 it says, "As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.'" This is exactly why I'm against No Shave November. I digress. Verse 46. "He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection." He is unclean. "He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Imagine with me, if you would, the social stigma a leper must feel. He must cover his face, and because he's utterly unclean, announce to the world his condition. Unclean, unclean. Now, maybe we don't do it that way in this day and time, but all too often we find ourselves feeling a type of leprosy. And in our relationships, we don't cry unclean. We cry words like insecure, inadequate, insecure, inadequate. In our purpose of life, we feel banned from God and from others. And so we cry as an unclean leopard, and we say, "Worthless, worthless, condemned, embarrassed, ashamed." Numbers says this about lepers in chapter 5. It says in verse 1, according to the American Standard Version Bible, "And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, 'Command the children of Israel that they be put out of the camp every leper, and everyone that hath an issue, and whosoever is unclean by the dead, both male and female, ye shall put out. Without the camp ye shall put them, that they defile not their camp in the midst whereof I dwell.' And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp, as Jehovah spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel." Too many times we read scripture and we're untouched by the truth until we become that leper. They lived outside the camp. They had nothing and they had no one. They could not live with their family. They could not live with their friends. They couldn't be around their family and friends. The only company lepers had was with each other. And all too often that describes many of us. The only company we keep is with other people that are leprous like us. And we try to find security from other insecure lepers. We try to find grace from other condemned lepers. Oh, you're not helping me. We try to find hope in other lepers who have less hope than we do. And it's a reminder to us. You show me your 5 best friends and I'll show you your future. You got to look at who you're keeping company with. And you got to ask yourself, are they carrying me to my future? Or in some way, shape, or form, have they cast me out? Have they kept me out of that which God has promised me? You got to understand that there are times in your life when you are that leper and you have nothing and no one and nowhere else to go, and that you're going to have to break some laws to get to the God who gave you grace. You're going to have to look at things in a different manner. You're going to have to say, "I must be desperate, though no one can stand me and I can't get within 6 feet of anybody. I'm gonna have to go to God this time. He is my Jehovah Jireh. He is my Jehovah Rapha. He is my Jehovah Sikkenu. He is my Jehovah Shalom. He is my all in all. He is the peacekeeper and the peace speaker. I've tried all the cures of this world. I've tried to figure this thing out. I've tried to position myself, and still I'm on the outside looking in." I think every once in a while God reserves moments in our lives to say, "They are not your provider. I is. I is that I is." That's my translation of "I am that I am." See, in ancient Jewish laws, there was 61 defilements. 61 defilements. The only thing more serious than leprosy was a dead body. Lepers, again, they couldn't live with their family and friends. The only way they knew how to contain the disease was to put them out, outside the camp, outside the city. And either they were left there to die or they got better. They were on the outside looking in. I came across a quote that I think describes those that feel like a leper. It goes like this: when you carry the weight, the pain, and the sorrow of yesterday, it will ruin the plan and the power of today and the progress of moving forward tomorrow. I want to read that again because it just meant so much to me, and I've just had to read that over and over again. And it's simply this: when you carry the weight, the pain, the shame, and the sorrow of yesterday, it will ruin the plan, the purpose, and the power of today and the progress of moving forward tomorrow. You see, in the natural, according to the law, the leper had no hope for a better tomorrow. Oh, how many times have we found ourselves living and sitting in a situation that says to us, you must carry this pain, you must carry this weight, you must carry this shame, this condemnation, and this sorrow. And so we carry it from yesterday into today. And we have to look through all of it, and so it taints the way we look at the plans of God, the purposes of God, and the power of God today. It almost angers us when people start talking about moving forward into tomorrow, because we've done this for so long, the only tomorrow we're going to move into looks exactly like the day we just left, called yesterday. You know, sometimes it's good. It's not bad to get stirred up. I think for a long time, the enemy used the law to paralyze the leper. The leper knew the law and said, man, I'm one of the 61 defilements. Some of you have wondered your whole life, where do I fit in Scripture? I've got good news for you. You are one of the 61 defilements. Okay. Take the joke out, second service. Either they didn't get it or it wasn't funny. But the law continues to beat you up and beat you down and remind you, you must live outside the camp of what God has promised you. You must live outside of the relationship, wholeness that God has assured you and committed himself to. And over again, the natural circumstances and the voice of the law continues to remind you, yeah, you can't believe for more. You don't deserve more. And maybe that's not all bad if you'll let it begin to work toward the good. Maybe you'll be like the leper this Christmas holiday and say, you know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I've been abandoned. I've been rejected. I've been misunderstood. I've been looked over. And I have nothing else to lose. Who cares what they say about my desperate faith? Who cares that they tell me I can't get close to Jesus? Who cares? Because I have nothing else to lose. I have no fingers and two toes, and they're not on the same foot. So I'm going to use this as my invitation to go to Jesus and plead my cause. Jesus touching the leper was significant, because theoretically it would have meant, and it would have made Jesus ritually unclean. He would have been defiled. He would have been exposed to the very disease they fear the most. Would have been natural for Jesus to act like most people do, to push the leper away. And yet Scripture, let us be reminded, says that not only was he moved with compassion, but he was compelled to move toward the leper, and he stretched out his hand. He stretched out his hand, not this way, but I believe this way. And the touch represented what was being held in his hand. And it was healing, and it was cleansing, and it was hope for the utterly unclean. When we began this church 18 years ago, that's what we poured our lives into. That was the hope of a future you sit in today, was that people could find this place and it would be a sanctuary, and that they could come to the front of the room, which we call the altar, where God alters and changes our lives, where we are able to give to Him as lepers what's in our hands. And He won't judge and condemn us, but if we confess our sins, He will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 18 years ago when we began this journey in hopes that people could come here when they had nowhere else to turn, no one else who could help them. They could come to Jesus in a church that was willing to be interrupted, was willing to allow God to do what only God can do. We just wanted to see God open His hands and give salvation, deliverance, cleansing, and hope to the leper. And you're here because you received some. I believe the touch represented healing the disease of leprosy on the outside and the disease of leprosy I call loneliness on the inside. Leprosy was not just skin deep. It gets to you after a while when you get passed over, rejected, and put outside the camp of your promises. I want us to go back and take just a moment to get convicted. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, this is why I came. I came to get convicted. I want us to look at the main reason why leprosy is talked about so much in the Bible, because it's a graphic illustration of sin's destructive power. We're going to talk about sin. What are we going to talk about? So when you get in the car and your kids ask you, what did Pastor preach on? What are you going to tell them? And as husbands, you're going to say, this was the message I've been waiting for Pastor Greg to preach. It's not for your mama. It's for you kids. You are the spawn from hell. So as we go forward, let us remember in ancient Israel that leprosy was a very powerful object lesson. You see the debilitating influence and impact of sin in a person's life. Like leprosy, sin slowly eats away at our spiritual life, and it causes us to lose our balance, and it limits our ability to give and to receive meaningful touch from God. See, God's not scared of my leprosy. God's not scared of my sin. He's not scared of what I'm about to say in the form of confession. I didn't know you were that kind of a sinner. I think that's on back order. I think forgiveness for you is on back order. He doesn't say everything but your sin was handled at the cross. You see, our sin is not shocking to Him, but many times because it's shameful to us, we continue to carry the condemnation of being a leprous sinner. And therefore we're unable, unwilling, incapable, too weak and weary to give and to receive meaningful touch from God. He wants to open His hand, and when He does, we duck. And all He's opening up His hand to do is give you what He did at the cross for you. I've been living for about 51 years. And can I tell you, that story ends the same way every time at Calvary. With Him winning and Him giving me the victor's crown. I've heard that story a million times, and not once did Jesus lose. And you know what? It's as exciting today as it's ever been. This Christmas season, we celebrate the new birth, the new beginning, where He did something for us that made all things new in our life. What an incredible Christmas present to pick up and open and know in that moment we have a chance to be relationally and spiritually debt-free. So because we allow our sin, which is as a leprosy to us, we allow it to cause us to live under shame and condemnation, and we're not able to give meaningful touch or receive it from God, we end up living outside the camp of His provision and His presence. Like leprosy, let's not forget, sin was considered incurable and is considered incurable by man. Many even believed in that day and time that God Himself inflicted the curse of leprosy upon people for the sins that they committed. What are we talking about? sin. What are we talking about? I want us to pause because there's never going to be a way. There's never going to be a way for us to ever minimize the seriousness of sin. Whether we're talking about the adultery of King David, the denial of Simon Peter, or our own disobedience, we must never make light of sin. Romans 6 and 23 says that the wages of sin is always death. And if we're ever tempted to think that our sin is no big thing, then all we have to do is look back and remember the cross and see Jesus hanging there, bleeding and dying, alone in the darkness, abandoned by both God and man. That, my friend, is a picture of how God sees and what God thinks about sin. And he said it must be punished. And Jesus said, here, take me. I'll pay the price for the lepers of this world. Isaiah chapter 53 tells us in verse 6, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. 2,000 years ago, we clearly see that Jesus stepped into an incurable situation. And I want us to feast as I continue to close this message. And maybe if I begin to close in the middle, I'll get to the end. But Isaiah says it like this in chapter 53 in the New Living Translation. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. I like the way the Amplified Version treats one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It says in chapter 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly, like a leper, draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just in the nick of time or just when we need it. I feel very compelled to remind you that things were different in the city of Galilee that day. Scripture records just this one leper story, but I wonder how many more stories would be recorded in Scripture if some had the audacity to break the law and plead their case to God. Not only do I want to remind you that things were different then, but I believe things are different now. I believe God wants to do some incredible things in our lives and in this city. We learn in Scripture that Jesus not only has compassion for the crowd, but for the lepers who are not even worthy enough to stand in it. These guys had to stand outside of town. They couldn't even be a part of the crowd. But it's the leper that teaches us the power of taking our life and bringing it to the Lord and falling down at his feet. You see, that leper had a face-to-face meeting with God. He had a come-to-meeting. He had a come-to-Jesus meeting, and Jesus, for the first time, got to come to the meeting. Can I tell you that we're a different church when we've been with Jesus and having our Jesus meeting before we get here on Sunday? We look different. We praise different. We worship different. We sound different. We move different when we've been before the face of God. I think it's time for us in this season, before we move, to have a face-to-face with Jesus. Because I believe something has changed in and for the city of League City. How many mornings, how many days did the leper that we read about today wake up, live the day, and say, it's just like every day before? I think some of us live in situations that we wake up and do the same thing today that we did yesterday, because we have come to a place and the enemy may have helped us, and we've been lured into this belief that just because something's always going to be the same, or just because something's always been the same, it's always going to be the same. until it's not. How many days did the leper wake up and say, you know what? Today, based on the law, based on my life, and based on what I am worthy to receive, today's just going to be another day, and today's going to look just like yesterday, until it wasn't. How many things have you made peace with in your life and said, yep, it's always been this way, so it's always going to be this way. I've always been this way. My mama had an Irish temper, and she was Italian. Her mama had a temper. I've always had this temper. So I guess I'll always be in a fit and a rage. Pastor Greg, for as long as I can remember, I've always been sick. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that always, according to Scripture, ain't always. And that's good English. Can I have my teachers give me an amen? Always ain't always, always. That needs to be a bumper sticker. Just like where you is where you is. Another deep thought from a shallow Christian. Always ain't always, always. Because on this day, this leper said, I want to have a come to Jesus meeting that's going to include Jesus. So I'm finishing and thinking, and this song leapt into my spirit where it says in the first verse, you're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in the city. We could be as a congregation and say, yes, this is our seventh location. This is our seventh building. And we can just camp outside the full promise that God made to us. And we could allow our city to remain the same. Or, as we did a couple of years ago, during a time in which the church had plateaued financially, we could go to two services and we could begin to say, in our giving and in our attending, greater things are yet to come and greater things are still to be done in this city. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm desperate for the greater things that are calling us from Calder Road. I believe there is a promise from God. I believe there is a presence of God. There is a power of God that is beckoning and is calling and is pulling and urging us and saying, though you may feel like a leper and you don't have enough and you're not qualified and according to the law, this church can't make it. I believe God has raised an army of lepers and begun to save, deliver, and heal. And we are compelled with the power and the might of God, who is saying, I am with you. I am fighting for you. I am fighting with you. And I have come to release what's in my hand. I just believe we're about to see greater things. I love to go scriptural, not postal. I love to go scriptural on people. Psalms 107 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. See, sometimes people's praise and people's worship don't sound right. Sounds and makes those around them uncomfortable, but it's because in the song, in the message, in the words, they're crying out. They're saying, God, it's our baby boy. It's my baby boy. It's my blood. It's my flesh. It's my tears. It's my little Colton. He bears my name. He bears my image. He bears me. He is my DNA. That's why a mama might be white, like one to cry out. A daddy might come forward and say, oh God, I need what's in your hand. When's the last time we cried out and made me not even get to the conclusion of my message? Okay, I'm asking you to begin to pray and cry out. It's not normal to interrupt the preacher. It's not right. It's not etiquette. It's not good order. It's not good manners. It's not what I was taught. But sometimes in order to change what's always been, you've got to be willing to do what you've never done. In order to move from what always ain't always, always, you've got to be willing to cry out and say, oh God, I need a healing. Oh God, I need a miracle. Save me from my distresses. Send your word and heal me and deliver me from my destruction. See, I came from a church. Growing up with my wife, we got married really young, about 22 and 19. We were in a church that had a bunch of old school folks in it. And how old school people would pray for you is they wouldn't come ask you if you wanted to be prayed for. And they wouldn't even wait for you to recognize you needed to come forward. They would come get you because they knew what lay in the balance of your prayerlessness. And so they would grab you, and if my mom was in on it as a boy, she would grab me by the ear. And they would pray with you, not till you prayed through, till they prayed through. And that's what's missing from the 21st century church, is people who are desperate for God's presence, not the kind of, hey, you know what, I'm a little uncomfortable, God, come get me. Peekaboo, Marco. It's time for us to do away with Marco Polo Christianity and know that God walks the crowd, God walks the streets of a city, and he gets just close enough for someone who has the audacity to break the law, somebody who's just desperate enough to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I won't leave this service till God changes me, changes my marriage, changes my family. I got my dad hand out this morning. You know God is cooking with some Holy Ghost oil. So God, we begin to cry out. We begin to cry out. Man, I wasted all that time studying for a page I'm not even going to preach to give you a chance to cry out. There's something different in this city. There's something different in this church. There's something different in your life. And Jesus is walking just close enough by you that if you're willing to reach out, you can touch the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord. Be willing to be desperate. Be willing to let your cry, your voice be heard in this sanctuary. Throw caution to the wind and say, enough is enough. Devil, you're not going to have your way in my body anymore. You've been stealing sleep from me. Finances from me. You've been stealing peace from me, and I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Oh, if I can ever get our church to pray, it'll be the one thing that leaves a legacy. Oh, let me hear you cry out. Oh, yeah. I hear people beginning to really pray. You're going to be able to tell people that, yeah, I went to church and a prayer meeting broke out. It forever changed Dominion Church on December the 14th, 2014. I was there when intercession gave birth to the promises of God, which were yes and amen. I was sitting in the crowd that day on December 14th when God healed my husband and delivered him from pornography. I was there that day when God healed one of my internal organs that the doctor says was incurable. I was there that day. I was ready to commit suicide. But on December 14th, I got stirred up when other people cried out, and they were crying out on my behalf. And it was that day that my death sentence was broken and God released abundant life. I was there that day when God blessed my business. I was there that day when God blessed my marriage. Oh, go ahead and keep on praying. This is the conclusion. We've taken the offering, we've sang the songs, and now we're saying, ain't no rock gonna take my place. Nothing and no one's gonna steal my praise. Nothing and no one's gonna move me but God. But God. Psalms 3 and verse 3 says that He is the glory and the lifter of your head, and He is lifting you out of impossibilities. He's breaking this oppression. He's breaking this discouragement. He's breaking this defeat that comes one painful thought at a time. Oh God, we're going to lift you up for a moment. God, I cry out, break this addiction in my life. Break it, Lord. Break it, Lord. It's left me feeling like a leper. Break this addiction, Lord. Break this lack. Break this financial lack. Break this emotional and relational lack in our lives. We're getting this room heated up for tonight, so to speak. Our men are going to come, and after a time of Kendall Massey leading us in worship, Jay Reynolds is going to share one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever heard about how when he and a friend of his was accosted by rebels, they began to pray in the Spirit, and they should have been left there in a pool of blood dead that day, but because they cried out in the middle of their distress, God rescued them, and He is here today. And tonight we're going to lay hands on men, and we're going to start stirring it up. I believe there are some ladies here that the doctor said, you could not have a child. You cannot have a child. And it has left you feeling like Sarah must have felt in the Old Testament. You have been left feeling barren, unwanted, and as a leper. If you are here this morning, I'd like to ask you to stand. We're going to pray for God to do the impossible in your life. Men, keep standing. We don't think that you're standing for the purpose of having a child. But if you're a lady here today, I want you to put both hands up. I want to know where you're at. We're going to lay hands on you. You cannot physically, according to what your doctors have said, you cannot have a child. I feel it very strong in my spirit. As I travel and minister out, I see this as one of the things that God does over and over again. He performs the miraculous, and inevitably it ends up that someone in that congregation is prayed for. I've had testimonies through the years. I got one about a year ago of a lady who said, Pastor, you prayed too much. You prayed double for my trouble. My husband and I wanted one child, but now I'm pregnant with two. I promise you, I won't pray double for the trouble. And the power's not in me.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.